Okay, well, everybody, have you enjoyed, had a chance to enjoy your dinner? Can you hear all the way to the back now? Okay, everybody here? All right, that's good. Okay, well, like we said earlier, we're going to start putting this message for Hoshana Rabbah together. And so if you haven't finished eating, go right ahead. I'll keep an eye on you, and then you can come up and deliver part of the message. Okay, you know, our theme this year is Days of Elijah. And we're trying to concentrate on building strong families. And, you know, as we get older, I mean, my kids are grown. How many of you have kids that are all of them are grown and out of the house? All of you, okay? Almost all of you. Okay, I didn't see. Okay, let me ask whose kids are still in the house. Oh, I feel sorry for you guys. No. But you know, we think when our kids are grown that and they're out, then they're off on their own and our job is done. Isn't that what we've been taught? Okay, but is that reality? No, we sigh and cry over our children, don't we? And the things our children get themselves into. Well, our society has tried to train us, and you'll see it on TV and all of that, that we, as we get older, become not more useful, but what?
Useless,
that's right. But, you know, we're old enough to remember back at a time when even on TV, the older people were looked up to. Now, can you think of any television programs that featured a grandfather or grandmother who was basically the leader of the family, even though that she may have had children and even grandchildren?
Waltons.
Who? The Waltons? Waltons, okay. Have it any more? Who? Aunt B, okay. She was the aunt, yeah, of Andy Griffith's show. Anybody else? Who? Bill? So was Jed the leader of the family there? Is that what it was? I know Jed's a millionaire, but I don't know if he was really the leader. So I think Granny was the leader, wasn't she? Okay. Okay, any others? Who?
Early 50s.
I don't remember that show. What's that? Little House on the Prairie. Yeah, was there an older fellow? I don't remember an older fellow in that one. Okay, we'll get one more back here. Who? Father Knows Best. That's right. I had a couple of them. How many of you watch Gunsmoke? Okay, who is the old fellow in that that seemed to have the wisdom that Matt Dillon always went to? Doc. Yeah, Doc. How about The Real McCoys? Did you ever watch that? All right, and then another one that Angie and I used to watch a little bit of when our kids were growing up, and it was The Big Valley. The Big Valley with Barbara Steinwick in it. And, you know, she was such a proper woman, wasn't she? And everybody looked up to Barbara. But, you know, if you were to try to get our children to watch those types of programs, it's nothing. They wouldn't do it, would they? There's no excitement in it. And then they would also sort of look at these role models, this Barbara Steinwick, what was her name in there? Mrs. Barkley. They would look at that and say, oh, you know, that's old-fashioned, right? Old-fashioned. Well, these were older people who played major roles in their families and not only their children, but their grandchildren and possibly even their great-grandchildren. But our society has changed and turned that all around to where we think that the older people are useless. But that's not at all what the Scripture has to say. The Scripture says something totally different. In Job 12, it says, "With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days understanding." Okay, does God said that. Is he old-fashioned? Is this something that's outdated now? Well, certainly not. No, this is something that is everlasting. It's just the way things are, right? You know, when I was a kid, you know, my thinking was, you know, let me learn through my own experiences. But I had a friend who said, the best experience is what? Someone else's experiences. You learn from someone else's experiences because that's the smarter way to do it. There's no sense in you going out and wrecking your car so you'll know what a wrecked car feels like, or or what it cost you or anything. So you learn from someone else's experience. There was a 19th century playwright who once said, wisdom comes with age, but sometimes age just shows up by itself. Now, we know that, and so hopefully as we have grown older, we have grown wiser as well. And Scripture shows that once a man has reached a certain age or a certain status, he becomes what's called an elder. And one of the roles and responsibilities of the elders in ancient Israel was to stand at the gates. And what is it, you know, anybody know what it means to stand at the gates? What happens at the gates? Judgment took place at the gates. But judgment is also where people came in, people went out. And so it was a common thoroughfare. And so for the judges or the elderly to stand at the gates, they were making themselves accessible to people as they come and went. Came and went. And so, yeah, probably they probably had an eye for the youngster who was going to come in and cause problems or something like that. So they used their wisdom in many ways. A couple of passages I'd like to give here is in Deuteronomy 25, and it says, if a man does not take his brother's wife, this is in regards to Levirate marriage, it says, he shall go up to the gate of the elders and say, in other words, it was a responsibility for people when they made decisions, major decisions in life, like becoming the husband of your brother's wife once he has died and raising a child in his name. That's a major decision. And so before you made a decision like that, you were to go to the elders in the gate. The elders are the ones who were to advise you on things like that. And in fact, in the story of Ruth, which is a very important story for our benefit and for the benefit of Israel, and for the benefit of all mankind, the decision for Boaz to marry Ruth happened where? At the gates. And it says that Boaz went and spoke to the elders at the gates, and the elders became witnesses of what went on. So the Bible gives the ancient ones, the older ones, the elders, a number of responsibilities. One of those responsibilities is for us to pass this wisdom on to others. And so what I want to talk about right now is how we can pass our wisdom on to others as part of building families and how we can be useful in building families. And so there's two big points I want to cover. One, we want to talk about teaching our grandchildren. Did you know the Scripture commands you to teach your grandchildren? And also how we can continue to help our children. Now in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6, it says, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. What is a children's children? A grandchild. It says the grandchildren are the crown of old men and the glory of their fathers. And so our grandchildren should be something that we delight in. We like to carry them around and show them off. How many of you guys have ever done that? Yeah. Okay, so grandchildren are supposed to be something you carry around and you're proud of. And yesterday, my little granddaughter came up in the middle of the dance, and she had me over here and another lady over here, and we're getting ready to dance the dance that I just knew she was going to get trampled on. And so I just grabbed her and picked her up and just carried her to that dance. And it's sort of a good feeling, isn't it, to have your grandchildren there? And then another case yesterday, also, I was going over. We got a younger grandchild, our youngest grandchild, Sarah, 18 months. And Sarah, whenever Sarah's around us, she always clings to Angie. She just loves Angie. And she usually stays as far away from me as possible. But I went over there and was standing by my son yesterday, And this happened because of the night before I grabbed Sarah so that Angie and my daughter-in-law Crystal could dance. And so that I took Sarah for her, and she just threw a little fit. But we just sat there and we talked and talked and talked. And then yesterday afternoon, when I came up to Jason and Jason was holding Sarah, Sarah just put her hands out like that, and she wanted me to hold her. So, you know, grandkids can be quite a joy for grandparents. But our responsibility to grandchildren extends beyond just picking them up and showing them off. We do have a responsibility to our grandchildren that we need to be thinking about. And one of those is that we are to teach our grandchildren history. Did you know that? We are to be the history teachers for our grandchildren. I'll just give you a couple of scriptures. You may not have taken these and or thought about these before. But Deuteronomy 4, it says, this is Deuteronomy 4 verse 9, it says, "Only take heed to yourself and keep your soul diligent, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. But you are to teach them to your sons and your sons' sons." So what that's saying, and this is Deuteronomy, this is Torah. And the Torah says we are to think back on the things that have happened to us, and we are to teach them not only to our sons, but to our sons' sons. That's a commandment. You know what commandments are, right? Okay. We are commanded to teach our sons' sons about the days of old. Now, many of you, how many of you fought in World War II, or any of you who fought in World War II? Okay, we're a little bit too young for that. But I remember my dad talking to me about World War II, and it made an impact on me. How many of y'all had, I'm sure many of you had parents that were a part of World War II, right? Did they ever talk to you about it? Yeah, and we learned something about it, didn't we? We learned, how many of us learned about the Great Depression from our parents? Okay. All right, this is, now, see, they taught it to us, we're the sons. Now, what's our responsibility? To teach the same thing to our sons' sons. So we should never let World War II depart from our lips. We should never let the Great Depression depart from our lips. And how we struggled through those times, or how our parents and our grandparents struggled through those times. But we're in a society today that has forgotten, right? And so everybody now is in a sort of a gimme type mode, right? Especially the younger they are. It's because we, and as a generation of people, have failed to teach our sons' sons. Psalms 44 says, "O God, we have heard with our ears, and our fathers have told us what deeds you have performed in their days, in the days of old." We are to be teaching about what God has done. We don't have to just stop at the history that our fathers and our forefathers, our close forefathers, lived through. We can go back and teach our grandchildren about things that happened 3,000 years ago. We used to have in our fellowship a man and his wife, and he told me that even though he never felt called into anything like that, he still remembers his grandmother reading him the Bible. His grandmother reading him the Bible. And he credits what his grandmother did to him being a part of walking the way of God. And so this is something that we can never leave behind. We can never let that responsibility drop. We have a responsibility to our grandchildren to teach them the ways of old. Teach them the ways of God. Teach them the stories. And I tell you what, sometimes I don't do it as much as I used to, and I probably should start again. But I used to sit down when the kids would come over. We'd often get the kids, all the kids. We've got 6 grandkids. Right. We got 6 grandkids.
You did good. You did good.
And we would bring them over, and they would always want a story. And so I would take, and before they go to bed, I would take any of the Bible stories, and I would drag it out. And I tell you, we made that thing up. I mean, we had David on rocket ships. We had, you know, all these types of things. But we were trying to tell the story in a way that made it enjoyable to the grandkids. Okay, these are our responsibilities, folks. These are what we're supposed to do. 1 Peter 5 says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, and he's also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of ready mind. Neither be lords over God's heritage, be examples to the flock." And so this is sort of talking about the entire congregation. But specifically, we can use it and apply it to our children. We can teach them history through the examples that we've learned. If I grew up in the 60s, and I remember things about the 60s that my parents didn't like, and I see now the results of those things that are, you know, we've now got 60s people running our country, right? Our country's run by a bunch of hippies, right? Okay, so I can look back at that, and I tell my grandchildren about that, how our nation got off kilter a little bit there during the 60s. And it's what we've got now as a result of those. And so how it's important that we take and train you guys right so that if this country continues on, we can start getting people that are outside of that culture, that 60s culture that is now running our country today. So we can pass these things on. This is history. It's important that you teach history to your children or to your grandchildren. And by doing so, I mean, we all had to take history in high school, right? Everybody had to take history of some sorts? Okay. Well, there was a purpose. We knew about that now. We knew how important it was to remember the past. But history is not pushed on in schools today like it used to be. And so it's incumbent upon us to take and teach the history of this nation and the history of God's people to our grandchildren. Another thing is continuing to teach your children. Now, that's just easy as pie, right? Every one of you guys have absolutely no problem talking to your grandchildren and to your children and their wives about how to raise their own kids. How many of y'all just, you know, it's just as easy as anything?
You gotta turn off your electric device.
You think they're out there listening? Oh, yeah. Yeah, Mike is saying that you got to turn off all their equipment before they'll start listening to you. How do I want to say this? It's still important for us to be able to take and help our children along. It's hard for us to do so. But it's still important for us to do it. And we've got to learn how to do it and learn to be creative. The problem is not in our desire to help our children. The problem is in the culture that we're in today. You know, every generation reinvents the wheel in regards to child rearing. Every generation thinks they're going to do it better than the generation before. But we're seeing what's happening, right? We're seeing the results. But going back to the Big Valley, the real McCoys, Grandpa and Grandma were the ones that they went to looking for advice, right? What happened? What happened?
Hollywood.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. Hollywood is a big influence. Somehow we've got to overcome Hollywood. We've got to overcome this culture we're in today and somehow be able to work ourselves back in to where we can help our children not make the same mistakes we did. There again, experience is not the best teacher. Someone else's experience is. And so we experienced those things. I mean, I basically rejected my parents the way they wanted to raise us. It was not hard to reject them because they lived way off and 500 miles away. But, you know, there again, we invited Angie's parents to be a part of helping us and raising our children. And if you can somehow do that, if you can somehow build the confidence in your children to where your children will accept your input as they get older. And now, you know, is it too late for us? I don't believe it is. But we can still work on it. Do you realize something? You go back to the biblical story. Remember the story of the Exodus? How many of you have heard that story of the Exodus? Okay. I got to give some easy answers to get some feedback. So, Mike says he watched the movie. That's how he knew about it. So, the Exodus story, you know, we're told to remember the Exodus over and 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 over again. In fact, there's a guy in our fellowship who says he counted the references to how many times the Exodus story is mentioned where God says to remember when you came out of Egypt. It says over 200 times. Over 200 times. And so we're supposed to remember the Exodus. Well, there's a little fine point in the Exodus story that many of us have passed over. And that's in the case of Jethro. Okay, now keep in mind, Moses had just split the Red Sea. It's not something that happens every day. He had just split the Red Sea. He had just taken and thrown an old branch into a cesspool of water, and all of a sudden it became sweet. By praying to God, manna came out of heaven. By holding his hands up, he's one man, basically, Joshua, is able to take and overthrow the Rephidim, the army of the Rephidim. I mean, this Moses was quite a fellow, wasn't he? But think about this for a second. He's done all of these great things, and then his father-in-law comes to visit. You know what Moses did? The guy who had just crossed the Red Sea bowed down to his father-in-law and took his advice. You ever thought about that? You would think that Moses, I mean, I know I would have, just said, I would have said, you aren't trying to tell me what to do? But yet Moses bowed down to his father-in-law and took his advice. We have somehow got to be able to instill in our children that we have wisdom enough that they will still come and seek our advice, because there's no need for them to make the same mistakes that we all made. You know, Rehoboam, the king that inherited the nation of Israel from his father Solomon, he wanted to know how to be a better king, and so he went to the elders, the older people, to get their wisdom to see what they would do, what input they would give, what knowledge they could bestow upon him as to how to be a better leader. And he listened to them, and he thought, I think he thought it was good advice. But then he went to the young counselors, and the young counselors counseled him differently. And Rehoboam took the advice of the younger people, and as a result, the nation of Israel split in two. Children today would much rather go, young people today would much rather go to their peers in regards to child rearing, or in regards to marital situations, or in regards to purchasing a minivan instead of a Mercedes, you know. They would much rather go to their peers instead of to the elder who could tell them what really would be the wise thing. All right, well, this is getting long, and I want to finish it up. But I just want to finish it up by saying that, I'm just going to take this one last verse. A third thing that I'm going to throw in here is that we have a responsibility to begin breaking the generational curses. There is a passage in Exodus 34, verse 7, that says, this is speaking of Yahweh, it says, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation, until the grandchildren. In other words, my father and my grandfather may have started something that was manifest in my father, was manifest in me, and manifested in my son. Somewhere, and that will continue to manifest itself until someone takes the initiative to break the curse, to turn it around. And I'll just give you an example. My personal example was of anger. I was a very angry person for a long time, and my father was a very angry person. But one of the things that I did is when Angie and I got married, I was determined I wasn't going to be angry. That doesn't mean I didn't stop being angry. It just means I determined I was no longer going to be angry. And so I fought that for years and years and years and years and years. And I'm still fighting it. And so somehow we've got to break this course, this path of anger. And so if we could help our children in some way to do these things by encouraging them, or like, for instance, if your son is angry with his children, that you're able to just get in there and just maybe talk with them and say, hey, you know, let me take him up, and maybe through your example of the child, you know, maybe the child did something bad, where you could pick the child up and calm the child down and help the father then to see, no, let's just act calmly here. There's all these things we would like to do, right? I'm not really giving you any answers of how to do these things, because I don't know how to do them myself. I'm experimenting myself. The point is, though, is that we've got to be cognizant of that. We've got to be taking advantage of every opportunity to help our grandchildren so that they can remember the days of old, that they can remember the ancient paths, and so that they will start to turn around the sins of the fathers, turn around the things that are causing our generation to go down. And so at this point then, what I would like for us to do is simply take and see if there's anything that any of you have ever thought about, anything that you would say, I wish my son would do this, or I wish my child would listen to me here, or, you know, if I could just have 5 minutes and my son would listen to me, what would I tell him? You see what I'm trying to get at? Anybody? Okay, so let's do that. And I want to write these things down, because what we're wanting to do is, on Hoshana Rabbah, I'm going to talk about building communities. And one of the important things in the community is to take and return the community thinking to the elderly, that the elderly have wisdom that can help build the community and help the people grow as a community of people, not a commune of people, but as a community of people, so that we can turn this thing around and start getting the Hebraic-minded folks together and building families that are built like what we used to see on TV, of the elders, and then how they were looked up to, and how the children took this knowledge. You know, I'll just give you another little sidebar thing. You realize that the current situation we're in right now, where the elderly are not looked up to as they should be, is a very recent thing. You know, we went for 6,000 years with it being right, and this then last maybe 40 to 60 years, it's gone downhill. So I think that we can start this back uphill climb if we really begin to put an effort in. But it's going to have to be, we have got to decide ourselves that we are going to try to do it. We cannot accept the standard or the norm today that you guys are now out of the picture. Okay, so we're going to talk about those things. And so Angie's going to write them down, and I'm going to take a picture of them. And if we fill up the board, we'll do it again. So who would like to start? Gary. Okay, speak real loud when you can, but basically what Gary was saying is that, if I can remember correctly, it's oftentimes because of our attitude that we've had, and we're not going to listen to anybody else, and so therefore, you know, we're not listening to God. Right. So you're saying that because you're openly rebellious to God, then our children are learning to be rebellious to authority, maybe. Yeah. So what I do as I say, not as I do, right? Okay, so stop giving a double standard, maybe. Stop being a double standard to our children. Practice what you preach. Angie's gotten flooded here. Okay, we're going to say practice what you preach. How's that? Okay. You know, in that regards, I got a suggestion. I haven't done it yet. I probably should, but maybe we should grab our children and apologize to them for being angry or for being not listening to those or not doing what we knew we should have done. Maybe if we began to apologize to our children, then maybe they would be more open to taking our input. Okay, so practice what you preach. I saw another one back here. Yes, sir. Apologize to children? Yes. Uh-huh. Angie likes that one, so she's going to make sure I do that. Yes, sir.
We need to tell our children what we have learned and to observe us now.
Tell your children to what you have learned.
Both of our children have been raised in the church. My children were raised by the Lord's Big Church.
Okay. Okay, so don't look at where I'm at now instead of where I was back when I was raising you. Is it? Watch you what you're doing now. What you're not maybe what you were when I was when you're in my home. Okay. Watch how I am now, not the way I was. I got one over here, Vince.
To explain to our children that learning is a never-ending process.
Okay, learning. Vince said that learning is a never-ending process, and we can tell our kids that, and they'll say, yeah, Dad, I know, but but it is a good point if they would grab hold of it. Ronald?
We need to model respect in our own actions so that our children see it, and they emulate what we're doing.
Right. Ron said that we need to model respect so that our children will emulate what we're doing. And that's a very good point because children are sponges, right? They soak up everything. And I can tell you this, children are still sponges. My son, yesterday the statement I made about clothing, my son came up to me and he had all kinds of comments. Not really bad comments, but he heard that. You know, and it made an impact on him, what I said. And I'm not going to tell you what he said. But anyway, the kids hear everything, even when you're older. They still hear everything. Rose?
Well, we need to also teach them how to stand on their own ground and not be swayed by the ways of the world and the fact that doing wrong that way.
Right. And she's talking about teaching the children to stand on their own ground. That's true. What I am really hoping, though, is to, because we're talking about our older children. You know, it's easy to talk to our younger children, but our older children, the ones that I'm wanting to address, how do we get to them? And some of you, I'm sure, have been successful in this. Mike?
Explain that you as parents, our children as parents, need to be parents, not good buddies.
Okay, parents should be parents to their children, not good buddies to their children.
There's a tendency today to be friends and equals.
Yeah.
There's not an equality.
Well, and that's a good point, too. I mean, I did that. It didn't work. But, no, but I told my son one time, in fact, I told both my boys when they were about 17 years old that, you know, I was your father, but I'm now ready to be your friend. And because being a father is not as easy as being a friend. We have to make hard decisions, so. Okay, let's get this lady in the back with the green hat.
Pray without ceasing.
That would certainly help. And I've become a big fan of prayer just the last couple of years, so. Mike?
But that they would, even more than we do, have a love for Torah and make that the center of their lives.
Yeah. He said that to teach your grandchildren and show maybe your grandchildren to have a love for Torah. And the best way for us to do that is to be examples of it ourselves. And so if, you know, God says to take and speak of these things when you wake up and when you lie down and all of that to your children and your grandchildren. And so if we're doing that ourselves, then maybe we can, and we're showing that, then maybe we can get it. Okay, Dean? So what Dean was talking about was writing letters to your children when they turn 16? To your grandchildren when they turn 16. Okay. Writing letters to the grandchildren. Okay, I got a few more years before I have to worry about that. Marcia? That's a really good point. That's a really good point. I remember my dad one time. I used to call my friends collect. I would call them and I would bill it to my home phone number. Remember when you used to be able to do that? Okay, well, after about two or three times, the operator came on one time and says, forget the term she used, said, but he's not going to pay for it anymore. Clunk, and all of a sudden I did. Give your children a credit card, a telephone charge card, and tell them to use it to call you. Of course, they cell phones you don't have to worry about anymore. But that's a good point. Get that communication open. Angie calls her mother every day at 7 o'clock and sometimes talks 15 or 20 minutes with her. So she has a good line of communication with her mom and dad. My mom and dad hated the telephones. I hate telephones. I do not consider that a generational curse, though. But I hate to get on the phone and talk. But I do love emails, so that's why when people call me for the feast. I'm very short, but I'll write a big old long email out. Let me see. Let's get someone. Okay, let's get Big Ed and then Mike again. And then Roger.
You already said history, but family history.
That's good.
Heritage and inheritance. Angie, that's like three H's. Okay.
Heritage, inheritance, and
history.
History. Yeah, our genealogy, where we came from.
Yeah.
Right. That's what you should tell our kids, right? She said, Dottie said, this is how we act in our family. This is what we do. And it works with your kids. But I don't know how, hopefully it would work when they're older. I mean, my son Jason, he does try to emulate what he learned at home. And so, of course, he has to. He works for me. No, seriously, he's a great kid, and he's a young man, and so he's trying to emulate the things that we do, and it was a proud thing for me. I'm gonna tap myself on the shoulder here a little bit, but last night I came down to the gym down here, and I was supposed to come down there and take care of my grandkids, but my grandkids were being taken care of by someone else, but I saw my son, my daughter-in-law, and my wife, all three out there dancing with these kids, these teenagers, and teaching them dance. And I was proud as a peacock. So It's just good to see your children involved in a godly thing, right? Okay, now Mike and then Roger Norman.
I didn't actually do this. I knew I should have, but I didn't. So I'm going to counsel my children to actually, when they rise up and when they walk in the way, when they go to bed, to actually do that and include blessings in it, because that was a good point this morning at one of the breakout sessions. And that's the excellent time to do bless, to counsel your children, to bless their children, and to actually teach them these times.
Well, you know, that's a commandment of God. Sometimes we just don't obey those commandments, do we? Oh, we all got time. We all got the same amount of time, right? And face it, guys, we've got more time than we had before, don't we?
That's your excuse.
Yes, we do. Most of us are not working full time. We now have more time that we can devote to those things than we used to. We don't have excuses. We really don't have the excuses. Okay, Roger. So you get your boys together? Oh, it's your prayer to get them. You hadn't got it there yet, though, right? Okay. You know, this is one of the things that we had hoped for as a family. Angie and I had hoped that our children would come home on Friday nights. Because both my sons live within 10, 15 minutes of us. And so I thought they would come over on Friday nights and we'd have big family dinners. And we did for a while. But then, you know, Jason wanted to build that with his own family. He wanted to do the same thing. And I understand that. But, you know, I still think it would be nice if we as a family had a tradition of getting together. And I don't think it's too late for us to build traditions still in our families of somehow getting together. And sometimes it may take our time to put it together, and it might take our money to put it together too. But even if you start a tradition of one time of a year going on a camp out, or one time you're doing something that you personally are not comfortable doing. Most of us are not comfortable going out and sweating, living in a tent, or anything like that. But if that's what it takes to get our rest of our family together and have that access to our grandchildren where we can take and teach them, there's something we might want to do, because bottom line is, it is a commandment that we do these things. It's not a suggestion. That you have a hard time getting them kids to admit they're wrong.
Yeah, we've all been wrong a lot of times.
Right. But learn from our mistakes. That's another thing. We've heard that a number of times, and it's a good thing, because we don't need to reinvent the wheel each time. Kathy? Learn from our mistakes. I took it. I'm sorry, Kathy. What'd you say again? I couldn't hardly hear you. Sin always has a price tag? Yeah. Somehow we need to teach that. Hopefully we teach that as a young child too. Carol?
In Fiddler on the Roof, do you remember where the family sat down on Friday nights and the mother blessed the children? Mm-hmm. Can you imagine how we would all be different if every Friday night our parents had blessed us?
Yep. Let me get...
But
I've already taken a picture of it, so let's erase it. So she's talking about how it'd be good if we could get our families together and bless them. Kathy, you got another one? Okay, you've only got... Bringing your kids together, it's sort of like the camping out thing. This is a good thing to do. And now see, the Elliots really believe in that. So they bought a lake. And then they built this mansion on this lake. And then they bought all these boats so they can drag all their kids. Though their kids just love coming home. So no, I'm just giving, I always give Kathy a hard time. So, but yeah, you know, there again, it might take a personal investment on our part in order to create an atmosphere where our kids are going to want to come home, and where you have this access. Rita? Just keep those lines of communication open with your children. It's certainly a very important thing to do, and sometimes hard. My mother, I try to call my mother, not nearly as much as I should, but I got four brothers and a sister, and so I say it's their responsibility to call her too, but they don't either. And so I really let down on that. But then when I do try to call, my mother's hard of hearing, and so she can't hear the phone ring. And so sometimes I have to call her 15 times to get her to finally answer the phone. But that's not an excuse, okay? We need to keep that communication open with our parents as well. And they will learn from our example there as well, because if we don't call our parents and they know that we're not calling their parents, they're likely to do what we do and not call us. So it's important. Yes, ma'am. So she's talking about praying for your children because she feels like the prayers of her father and grandfather were answered in your life, right?
Well, they were in my lifetime, but they were dead.
Right. Okay, let's take one more or two more on that regards, and then I want to shift it just a little bit here. Mike?
Teach your children and grandchildren to be fruitful and multiply, or all this becomes
poop. I like that one. It's fun having all those grandkids, isn't it? And see, Mike can take and figure out how he's going to partition all of his estates up and give to all these grandkids. Right? Or maybe John's going to do that too. John?
Yeah, we've got a plan. in addition to the getting together kind of things, it's also really important to spend individual time with individual children, individual grandchildren, so that they understand that I'm a grandfather, the father of the grandchildren, and also
Oh, that's a good idea. So he's talking about taking each grandchild individually on a trip or doing something special with them. Angie's got all these great ideas, and I'm still hard-headed enough that I don't always listen to my wife, but she would always like for me to take one of the kids out for breakfast, especially on their birthday or something like that. And after, I need to start practicing what I preach, or what she preaches, and start doing some of these things, because that's a really good point, to take them out. And it's very little investment, you know, and relatively little investment in time as well.
One of my grandkids likes chicken soup.
By the way, my son's calling me right now.
So we just take her to Panera's and buy her chicken soup, and it's like a big deal.
Yeah, that's a great idea. So, just individually with your kids there, you can do something like that. You know, we were talking about that at our table here, and I just maybe give you a little bit of insight into our society. You may be well aware of this. But when you are with your grandchildren, it's always good to have another adult. Because our society is such that you can be just a grandchild saying something that they didn't really mean, because sometimes you end up in prison. So you got to be careful of those things. And it's a product of our society, and it's a sad thing, because now you can't just go grab your grandchildren and take them fishing or something, or a grandchild, because it could mean something later. You know what I'm talking about. So it's just a sad situation in our family. So if you can take them together as a couple, then that's always better, at least now. Okay, I was going to change the product, the thing here, the thought here. We got 15 more minutes. And I would like to see those, even though we've had some really good comments here, I would like to know specifically what you would, if you had 15 minutes that your son or your daughter would sit down and just listen to you, or they would come up here, come up to you and say, "Mom, I'm having trouble with Johnny. Would you help me? My son just won't do this or that," that type of thing. If you could take and tell your child, your if you could tell anything to your children about how to better raise their kids, how to better control their finances, anything like that, I would like to hear that right now, just to see. I'm going to record it all. I'm going to play it all back to your kids. And no, I'm not. But just to see, because you know, I've got these things that I would like to tell my kids, and you know, I would like to see if maybe I'm out on the extreme. So, is there anything any of you guys would ever like to talk to your kids? I'm gonna take a picture real quick, and I'll be right back.
Wait a minute. What's
the number
guy ended at
4? She said we ended at 13.
Okay,
well, go ahead while she's doing that. Okay, you had an answer back there? Okay, but if that's all you would tell them? So what she's saying, that if her her kids were to come to her needing her advice, she would say, seek the Lord early. That is good. That should be a fundamental.
Well, I mean, cultivating
seeds have been there. Right. Oftentimes our kids won't come to us until it's crisis mode. But yeah, if we could go it earlier. Anything, anybody else? Yes, sir.
I think one of the biggest problems with a generation like my kids is discipline. Uh-huh. The thing is, you know, you have to ask them to have problems with kids, all right? Who's in charge of your house? Are you in charge, or the kids in charge?
Yeah.
That's one of the things I see in this generation now, is they don't want to spank your kids, they don't want to discipline their kids. And the Bible says, you spoil a rod, you spoil a child, but you're supposed to discipline the child, but you're supposed to have discipline.
So if you could your son was going to come to you and say, "Dad, I'm having problems with the boys. What should I do?" You would say, "Spank them."
No.
Oh, discipline. Discipline. Discipline to me is spanking. Yeah, discipline. Okay, discipline your children. Okay, and that's good. And this younger generation, they're taught not to discipline their kids. They're taught that spanking is bad. And that you're going to ruin your child if you spank. It's no longer called spanking. It's called beating your children, you know. And child abuse, yes. And so, and quite frankly, a lot of fathers have to be real careful about this nowadays. Because they got this Child Protective Services. It's just a phone call away. And the kids can call. And they'll listen to the kids instead of the parents. Yeah. So, but yet it's still a time-honored, effective way to get children to behave correctly.
Look for third-party influences, a booklet or a book or a pamphlet or something. don't have to invent the wheel over again. Lots of people dealt successfully with these problems, use those resources, and it's not coming directly from you, who they may not respect that much, but they may read something on, let's say, finances, how to not be in debt. And the book will go into a lot more detail than you can in 15 minutes, and you can just suggest the value.
Yeah, that's a good point. There was I had a friend, a mentor, you might say, when I was a late teenager. And this fella, he told me that he was a motivational type guy. He was a car salesman, and he could sell a rock to Mount Rushmore. You know, he could do these things. But what he told me to do, he said, is I've got a book you need to read. And I didn't like reading books. But I did read this one book he told me about, and it was called How to Have Power and Confidence in Dealing with People. And that one book changed my whole way of thinking about people, because it taught me to take and deal with people as they are, not as you wish they would be. And so sometimes a mentor or someone, you know, or like a grandfather can give a book to a child. But if you can get your children to read these books, you know, to read something, that's going to really help them out. And, of course, don't give them a book that you haven't read yourself, right? Okay. You read the book first, and you leave it laying on the countertop or on the coffee table.
Tell
them not to touch it. And then they'll be picking it up and seeing what's inside. And then you say, oh, yeah, I read that book, you know. Okay, Rose?
I've always thought of nowadays a lot of people just out in the other sector of the world, they'll tell everybody's wrong before they'll tell that they're proud of something that they've done. I'm proud of you about doing this, and a lot of times I've come to you and talked to you about their problems.
That's an awesome statement she just made. Tell your children that you're proud of them. You know, even if your grandchildren are little rugrat, tyrant, whatever, you still tell your parents, their parents, that you're proud of them. Because there's always something you can be proud of your kids for. Always something. And so, yeah, and then that opens doors to the kids, and they'll start listening more to you if they know that you think of them highly. This, especially guys, you know, we're guys, you know, and we're always guys. We never stop. Well, maybe there's some guys that aren't guys anymore, but we're all guys, okay? And so we love for someone to respect us. And so if, you know, we can respect our children and our young son or our sons by telling them that we're proud of what they're doing, and so therefore they would be more apt to listen to you if they know that they have your respect and it's somewhat of a mutual thing. I mean, when these guys get young, especially when they get married, I said this verse yesterday. When our children get married, our sons are to leave their father and their mother. And so when they leave their father and their mother, then there's this, you might say, a God-ordained gap right there, or void right there. And so you want them to be independent, but you want them to know that you're proud of them, and now you have to, in many ways, start treating them as friends and not as daddies as we used to.
You're pleased with them, or they give you joy. I like to stay away from that proud word. It's a negative in the scripture. Society makes it a positive thing.
Well, maybe so. Okay, Kathy and... Oh, yeah. Pray for their children's future mates. This is very important. Well, we just need to start arranging their marriages. Again. That's the way it's supposed to be anyway, right? How many of us would have accepted the mate that our parents would have chose from us. How many of us, though, think that we would have done a better job? Let me get my camera ready. How many of you think you would have done a better job picking the mate for your kids? Don't any of you raise your hands. But, you know, we do think that, don't we? We do think that. And so the way to get that to happen is we start training our kids early, right, on how to choose and what to look for and all that stuff. So, and I love my granddaughters.
I think one of the things that as adult people are used to being very negative, so what we need to do with ourselves and our children and our contacts is we need to have positive reinforcement. That's what we need to focus on. All of us need to be positive.
Positive, right. Yeah, be positive with the kids and with your kids. And in regards to grandchildren or how you're rearing your kids or how you're handling your finances, bottom line is, you know, I would rather my children be poor and happy than rich and sad. And so they may enjoy, I mean, Angie and I are real hard workers and all that. And my children, I don't have children like this, but my children may be happy living in something less than what we would. Or they might be happy driving an older car or spending the afternoons fishing with the kids where I would spend the afternoon working, you know. But if they're happy, it's much better than them being rich and sad. Okay, last one over here, Marcia. Okay, well, we appreciate everybody, and we're about out of time now.
We need one more to make 10.
Who wants to be number 10? All right, right here. So her comment was that she, when she was talking to her daughter, that her daughter apparently was taking it differently than what you were trying to imply. And so it's really important that when we talk to our children, they understand that we're not trying to put them down, but that we're trying to not trying to say that they're bad mothers or bad fathers, but there's maybe this example or something could help you along the way. So that's another good point. So Angie had a comment, and we're
going to
close
up. I was just going to ask her if she thought learning their love language, learning love languages of your children.
I just recently heard that.
Yeah. All of us understand and perceive things a little bit differently based on how we are through our own experiences and filters. And there's five major love languages.
She will not let me teach my granddaughter anything about the Bible.
Yeah. So I guess making sure she understands what you're really saying.
So she's talking about this speaking in the language that the children can understand, or that our children can understand. Well, I appreciate all your comments. We do have more, but we are out of time. And so I hope that what we can do, if we take something from this little, whatever this was, that, what was it? Exercise. Okay, and this little exercise, I hope we go out realizing that we are valuable, that we have importance, that our job is not done. We still have responsibilities, not only to our grandchildren, but to God. In regards to our grandchildren and to our children, we never stop being parents. And God has specific commandments for us in regards to teaching our grandchildren as well. We have got to figure out how to do it. We have got to turn things around. And we have each have got to be a committee, hope many of cases of two, mom and dads, grandma and granddad, Saba and Safta, who are going to somehow figure out how we can get back in there and save our children from a lot of the pain, heartache that they're going to have because of the culture that we've raised them in. And so with that, let's all stand and let's say a prayer. Abba, blessed are you, the great and wonderful God. Abba, we praise you again for this opportunity to come here this afternoon and to have a fellowship meal together. And Abba, we pray that you would continue to watch over us in all that we do, and that you would open up doors and avenues for us to where we can be the elders, that we can continue to stand at the gates as your scriptures show us. And Father, we think about the times when Jeremiah lamented the time when there is no longer older men standing at the gates and being judges of the people. We've got to turn that around, Father, and we need your help in doing so. Not only for our sake, but for the sake of our children and our grandchildren, and for all Israel's sake as well. So, Abba, we pray for your blessings upon us and upon our children and our grandchildren, and we pray that you would give us insight in how we can take and work our way back in there. So we bless you, Father, and we praise you because you are an awesome and wonderful God. And you do answer the prayers of your people when we ask them according to your wisdom and your desires. So we just thank you, Father, and we praise you and bless you in Messiah Yeshua's name. Amen.